Then,
of course, it's chili. Wait.
This week's parsha.
Okay, I'm good.
This week's parsha is Kisisa, and tonight also happens to be Purim Kadmon. Purim Kadmon, we know, means there's two Adars. There's the first Adar and the second Adar. The first Adar. The first Adar. We don't have Purim. There's a Mishnah, ain't bane. There's no difference in the first and the second. There's no in the first Adar. There's no Matran Sevionim. There's no Kriyas HaMegillah. So that's a difference between the first Adar and the second Adar. So that's why tonight we're not going to have Kriyas HaMegillah. However, when it comes to Simcha, so there are various shittas in the Rishonim. The Rambam says that there are those who are knowing to have extra Simcha tonight. So I see no reason not to be machmir like that shita and have extra Simcha. So that's why I put on my special Purim Sameach Yarmulke. And the Rambam says that to be besimcha is an avodah gedola. It's a lot of work to be besimcha. Simcha is no laughing matter. I'm just going to go back to the old fashioned. To be besimcha is a big avodah. Especially in this world, that's really the biggest avodah. Because there's a battle between the forces of good and the forces of evil. And the forces of evil are trying to convince all of us, all day long, that out there it's better. That if you really want simcha, you got to go out there. You got to go online. You got to go to the street. You got to go vacationing. You got to go get what's out there. Whereas we in Judaism make a very radical claim. Our claim is that the simcha is in here. Simcha is something internal. It doesn't matter where you are, and it doesn't matter what you're doing. Now that's much harder. It's much easier to have simcha, you know, when you're at a game, and, you know, they slaughtered a pig, and they skinned it, and they colored the skin brown, and they blew some hot air into it, and they made it into a funny shape. And then you have oversized goyim, who spend most of their lives lifting heavy weights, up and down, up and down, up and down, and doing crunches. What do you call those crunches? Crunches and crabs. Eating crabs and doing crunches. So, and they're jumping on top of each other. And then you have men dressed in the same colors as Haredi men in Jerusalem, black and white. Older men, short older men, running back and forth trying to stay out of the way of the younger you know, men, some of whom just had 24 cups of coffee before the game just to get themselves a little bit riled up. Not that they needed help, but anything is beneficial. And that's where the happiness is. That's where the excitement is. And the excitement is out there. The excitement is to take some tobacco from the ground, roll it up, put a piece of paper around it, and then pretend you're a chimney. In and out, in and out. Oh, look, Mom, I'm a chimney. Nice smell, isn't it? So they're all the things that are trying to get us in the outside world, different foods. They're trying to get us to go to restaurants, trying to get us to go to different vacation spots. And that's easy. It's easy to look outside and try to find things because that's pleasurable. And people misidentify pleasure with happiness. So the outside world does have a lot of pleasure to offer, but they have very little, if any, happiness to offer. And in Judaism, we have some pleasure to offer, but lots of happiness, because our pleasure is sometimes delaying pleasure and gratification. That's difficult to explain. Try explaining that to a one-year-old. I do that with my baby sometimes. I say to her, you know, Chanalipa, delaying gratification is a very important virtue. Like, why do you need your bottle right now? But, you know, at 4 months old, she doesn't really understand exactly what I mean, so she continues to cry. And I'm like, you know, but Chanalipa, can I reason with you? So, oh, you're such a girl. It's so emotional. Yeah? So, I don't really say that. But that'd be funny. So you can't reason because we want gratification right away. Right away. I want it now, now. We're in the now generation. Now, now. You send an email, now. You want lunch? How long is lunch? If lunch is going to be more than 15 seconds until it's hot, Forget about it. You got to put it in the micro. You get it now. You have a BlackBerry, internet, all the news now. You have to go. You have to something. You have to, you know, go from one place to the other. You want to get there as quickly as possible. You have to sit in traffic, this and that. You know, sometimes you're driving from New York to New Jersey. You have to sit on the George Washington Bridge in traffic, and people get all upset. You're like, hey, dude. You know, first of all, it's better than swimming across the Hudson River, right? And it's even better than walking across the bridge. So you're not there now. Right now, you're in an air-conditioned car. Stick in, you know, a Torah shir by, let's say, I don't want to, you know, be haughty, but by me. Yeah, listen to a shir, laugh a little bit, learn some Torah. No, we got to get there now. So Torah says, it's not now. We don't want Mashiach now. We always want Mashiach. We want Mashiach when he's ready to come. If he comes now, that'd be gewaldig. If he decides not to come now, if it's better for us not to, tomorrow. I know people, they want to get married now. Now they have to get married. Hashem says, not dafka now, maybe in 10 years is also good. People want children now. They want a job now. They want their help now. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, sometimes now, sometimes later, sometimes even later, and sometimes never. So that's the thing, that's the simcha of being a Jew, is being able to wait, taking things calmly, letting the Rabbanu Shalom run the world. Judaism is a different type of simcha. So in order to appreciate the simcha, you have to get into it a little bit, and then you see it's a different type of simcha. So if you're learning a Tosfos, and the Tosfos is really difficult, that doesn't seem fun. Not as fun as eating cheesecake. Yeah, but once you get the Tosfos, then you're left with some this feeling, this lingering good feeling of, I got it. Good. You got a little bit more Torah into you. And that's simcha. B'kudei Hashem Yisharam Samchelet. So this week's parsha is Kisisa, and it's Purim, and Simcha, and the Avod of Simcha. So there was a big rabbi whose name was Reb Pinchas Menachem Alter, the Ger Rebbe. It's his Yortzeit on Tess, who died right after Purim. He actually wrote a letter before he died, a famous letter. He asked everybody, all the Jews, to stop fighting with each other, which isn't such an easy thing to ask of Jews, not to fight with each other. As we all know the story, right? Two Jews on a deserted island, and how many shuls did they build?
Three.
The shul I go to, the shul you go to, and the shul neither of us will step foot into. Right, so that you have to have through that Jews. Unfortunately, sometimes it's hard for us. Rav Yisrael Kutney used to say, it says in the Gemara in Megillah, I can quote a Gemara in Megillah, that that they took 70 elders and they put them in 70 different rooms and they asked them to translate the Torah into Greek. And they didn't want to translate it literally because the way the Torah really speaks, because then they would misunderstand. Because, for example, it says, Bereshis Bara Elokim. So you can understand from that the beginning created God. Bereshis, the beginning created God. So they made it Elokim Bara Bereshis. God created the beginning. So they made all these changes, and miraculously, all 70 rabbis, even though they were in different rooms, all made the same changes. So that the Goyim wouldn't realize that, you know, they'd made changes. So Rav Yitzchak Kutner said, that was a miracle. But he said, you know what a bigger miracle would have been? If you get 70 rabbis, and you put them all in the same room, and they agree to make the same changes, that would be a bigger miracle. If they're in different rooms, they agree, that's one thing. But if you can get them all in the same room, to that was Rav Kutner's bon mot, if I may use a French expression. Any Canadians? Some of the Canadians and Englishmen speak French. Okay. Rod le flou. You know what that means?
What?
Rod le flou. Ah, because he was a hockey player for the Montreal Canadiens 20 years ago. So it means a flower. Okay, so now I know not only was he a hockey player whose hair used to fly in the air, but it's a flower. Okay, so, parlez-vous français?
Oui.
Oh, well, perfect. Wow, I don't want to mess it. Where's Aaron Moshe when I need him? Okay, Claire, what's his name? What do they call him in English?
Cedric.
You can talk to Cedric. You know Cedric?
Yeah.
Oh, you speak English also? Amazing. Okay. Hire Yidden. So the Pnei Menachem, before he died, he wrote a letter, and essentially he was right. He said, you got to have Achdus, and then he alluded to the fact that he's going to die. And then he was well, and then on Motzei Purim, he just laid down and he died. That was the holy Pnei Menachem, and he was the Ger Rebbe, tens of thousands of Hasidim. So when I was walking through Gula today, so I saw all the religious magazines, the picture magazines, they all have his picture on the cover, and interviews about him and stuff. So when I came home, I said, Rav Korn said I'm speaking tonight. So why don't we learn something from the Pnei Menachem? He died in 1996, which was, I guess, 15 years ago, on Tes Zayin. So his Yortzeit is coming up. Today's Yud Aleph. And so some about Parshas Kisisa and about Purim, make us better people. So just tonight I was, I looked, there's a website called Hebrew Books. So they have 45,000 Sfar. So you don't really need once. If you have the internet, you can use it, but just make sure first to finish their 45,000 Sfar. And then you can have it for that, and then you can go on, because what could be better than that? I'm saying there's nothing other. So if you ever have it, so then also they add. They're always adding. So it's not going to help. Once you finish them, they're going to be up there. They're going to be another few thousand there. So I went on. I want to see if there's any Svarim on there, even though I have it home at Pnei Menachem. But I saw some chassid from New York put out a sefer of Purim thoughts. It just happened to be Purim thoughts that the Rebbe had said. So on the Pasuk, Mordechai Yoshe B'Shar HaMelech, says that Mordechai was sitting at the gate of the king. So he says, what does this mean? So, Shar HaMelech is the gematria of Hester. Shar HaMelech is the gematria of Hester. What's Hester? Hidden. So he says, what's the gate of the king? Where can you find the king? Where he's hidden. Because you know in the king, whenever it says in Megillas Esther, the king, who's it referring to? It's referring to Hashem. So you think that you can find Hashem when you can see him. People say, I can't see him. So you just live your life. You can't see him. It's fine. Now watch this. A Machal Shabbos. Nothing happened. You can't see him. But Dafka, the Shaar HaMelech, the gate to the king, is Hester, where you can't see him. And that's where you can find him most. So in our lives, a lot of times, and you can't see him. We can't see him. We can never see. Sometimes you see him more. Sometimes you like him more. Sometimes you like him less. But you can't see. But that's the Shaar HaMelech. That place of Hester. And then like his grandfather, the Svasem, said so many times, if you know that the Shaar HaMelech is the Hester, then there's not going to be a Hester anymore. Then he can reveal himself. Because once you know it's him, right, like the Svarim HaKadoshim say about why we wear costumes on Purim. We wear costumes on Purim because a mashal of a father one day wants to come home and, you know, play around with his kids. So he wears a bear costume. Just like a scary bear. Where's Bezalel? Is Bezalel here? Yeah, you're wearing your bear's jacket? A scary bear! Yeah? I know what I'd rather, less rather meet in the forest late at night. A real bear? Or like a 320-pound linebacker for the Chicago Bears who doesn't like me? You know what I mean? I don't know what I'd rather, who I'd less rather, probably the bear I'd rather meet. Because it says in the Or HaChaim that Jewish people have more bechira, so it's harder to get away from a person. But a bear is... In any event, so you meet up, he comes home as a bear, and he knocks on the door, and then his five-year-old opens up, and he goes, Rah! So, the kid is terrified, there's a bear at the door. But then he realizes, no, it's only his father, all dressed up. So the kid thinks it's hilarious, so he runs into his room, and he gets on his bear costume. And he comes outside, and he goes to his father, Rah! And then the father goes, Rah! And he goes, Rah! And then and then they hug each other, and it's really funny, it's really cute. So the mother takes out her camera, boop, she takes a picture. So it's the same thing with Hashem. Hashem, he looked like the bear, he looked all scary. Oh, there's a gzeir against us. But we realized that it was all a costume, it wasn't for real. It wasn't real, we weren't really going to be killed. We know it's Hashem behind everything, and that Hashem loves us. So what do we do to show him? We know he's just dressing up. We also dress up. He said, we know you're hiding, so we'll also hide, we'll play the same game. So that's the Hester. If you know there's Hester, and then he can reveal himself and say, I'm here. That was one thing he said. Another thing he said is also, it says, Mordechai would sit at the gate, Mordechai lo yichra ve lo yishtachav. Mordechai wouldn't bow down. Mordechai wouldn't bow down to Haman. So he says, that's Merumah's, and we say in Mo's Sur. Mo's Sur is a very funny thing. We sing it on Hanukkah. And if you ever notice what the Torah talks about, anyone know what it talks about in Mo's Sur? What? We talk about Tzitzis Mitzrayim, Purim. What else? Huh? On Mo's Sur. Talk about Mashiach. It's a Mikdash. Oh, we also mentioned something about Hanukkah. That's a question, but that's for Purim. So one of the things we say in Mo's Sur is Rosh Yemini Nisesa Yayeh No Moneza Rob and I'm beginning I'm Etzalisa. Right? So what's Rosh Yemini Nisesa? Why do we say Rosh Yemini Nisesa? You raise the head of the right. V'oyeg Shmo Machisa, you erase the name of his enemy. Rob Banav V'kinyanav Ala Etzalisa. You hung him and most of his possessions on a tree. So maybe that means they put Haman on a tree, and they put his couch on a tree, and his television on the tree, his computer on the tree. It says you hang Haman and his possessions on the tree. Rov banav v'kinyanav ala itz talis. That's for another time. Maybe. What is Rosh Yemini Nisesa? Who's Yemin? Mordechai Ish. Mordechai Ben Shemi. Ben Kish. Ish Yemini. Excellent. What's your name? You're being so helpful. Yeshayahu HaKadosh. Ah! Yeshayahu, your namesake used to walk around these very streets and say, Rabbeisai, Mashiach is going to come and redeem the whole world. Yeshayahu ben Amoz, the book of Isaiah. Ah, I love Yeshayahu. Whenever I'm in a bad mood, I just open up a Yeshayahu, everything changes. I read from a pair of men, to all the good stuff. Ah, can't wait. What? The Chazanish was also, they say that Yeshayahu was named after the Chazanish. Rav Yishayahu Karelitz. Good, at least some of you got the joke. There's only a difference of, about the, 2,500 years between. So, Yishayahu says, Ish Yemini is Mordechai. What does it mean, Rosh Yemini Nisesa? The head of the Yemin you lifted. What's the head of the Yemin you lifted? That's really a remnant to this week's parasha. The Rosh Yemini Nisesa is Kisisas Rosh Bnei Yisrael. You raised his head. And that's Mordechai lo yichrev lo yishtachav. He didn't bow down. Haman would come by, and he wouldn't bow down. He wouldn't bow down. That's lo yichra v'lo yishtacha. So that's incidentally, and that's what infuriated Haman. And that's what they'll get the whole story started, that he wouldn't bow down. So I heard one Purim from my Rebbe Shlita, actually was very close. He was a right-hand man of the Pnei Menachem, the Tolna Rebbe. So he said that the Gemara says that, where do you see Haman in the Torah? Where's there a remnant to Haman in the Torah? Hamin ha'etz. Did you eat from that tree I told you not to eat from? Right? So Hamin is like Haman. So what's really the connection? Hamin, Haman, it sounds the same. Did you from that? Right? So what happened? In Gan Eden there were loads of trees. And Hashem says to Adam, you can have all the trees except for one. And what did Adam want? That one forbidden tree. So where's Haman? That's an allusion to Haman in the Torah. Everybody was bowing down to Haman except for one guy. And he couldn't take it that one guy wasn't bowing down. That one Jew, and that was his downfall. That was his downfall. That's Haman. So anyway, so Mordechai lo yichra v'lo yishtachav, he wouldn't bow down. So when should we bow down? When should a Jew bow down? You should bow down to Hashem, behodah. When he saves you, so he lifted up Mordechai, he lifted up his head, Mordechai wouldn't bow. But when Hashem does something, he's supposed to bow. When do we bow to Hashem and thank him? Modim. That's what we do. We go down and we bow. Right? So it's always imagine, why before a sumo wrestling match do they say modim? You know, sumos, bad Japanese guys go down like that. So such an interesting. I don't want anybody in this yeshiva to be a sumo wrestler for Purim. Like, that wouldn't be a good costume. Unless you're really, really, really obese. In any event, it's such a funny sport. Is it a sport? I'm saying, what's up? We just have to throw the guy out of the ring? I'm saying, what's the... I wouldn't even get in the ring. I'd be out in a second. So the Mordechai, so you should bow down to Hashem and say, yeah, bowing down at Modim. And that's what the Jews did. They bowed themselves down to Hashem to subordinate themselves to Hashem. So it says on Purim, Kimu v'Kiblu. Kimu v'Kiblu, they were Mekabel the Torah again on Purim time. And in this way, that's the way they bow down to Hashem and they subordinate themselves to Hashem. And that's why the Pnei Menachem says, Kimu v'Kiblu is b'gematria yichra. To bow down. Because to Hashem, the Kimu v'Kiblu, you're supposed to bow down. But when it comes to Haman, to the outside world, we don't bow down to them. That's what I saw in that other Sefer. But the Sefer that's more famous is the Pnei Menachem on the Chumash. He has 5 volumes. You can buy it in your local bookstore. HR, it's on my highly recommended list. He says like this, that Kisisa is a big parasha. It starts off with the raising of the head, and then you have the Ktores, talks about the incense in the Beis HaMikdash, and then you have the Mishkan, talks about Shabbos. So it says in the Mishnah, in Maseches Megillah, that when you read the Egel, they used to read the Torah, and they'd also do the Aramaic translation. So certain things you read, but you don't translate. But the Egel, you read and you translate. Meaning you translate into the Aramaic. So the Gemara says, Pshita, why shouldn't you translate the story of the Egel Azov, the golden calf, why not? So the Gemara answers, one Megillah. Is anyone here learning Megillah? Yeah. Must be a few guys. Terrific. That's a good thing to do before Purim. Now you have 30 days. There are about 30 blot in the Masechta, a little bit more. So you do one blot a day, and you can finish by Purim. Well, you do one blot a day. Today there's no excuses. You can have Shiurim recorded. They have people explaining it in English. They have art scroll. They have an old-fashioned, regular Talmud Gemara. You can use one of those. They have all different types of ways to learn Masechta. It'll make a different Purim. It's a different Purim when you know Maseches Megillah. In any event, the Gemara says, Pshita, why not? Why shouldn't you translate to the story of the golden calf? And the Gemara says, because you might think that we should be concerned with the honor of the Jewish people. Kamash Malan. Therefore the Mishnah tells us, no. Kol Shekain, certainly, we want to read it because it should be a kapara. It should be an atonement for us. So that's the Pnei Menachem Zetzal. What's this lashon of Kol Shekain, certainly? What's this certainly? So he explains it based on the Gemara about Azara. The Gemara about Azara says that the reason the Jewish people really shouldn't have served the Egel, there really shouldn't have been a golden calf. You know why we served the gold? You know why God made it that we did the Sefera? God wanted us to do the Sefera. We had choice, but God also wanted it. You know why he wanted it? He wanted it so that people see, anyone remember? Anyone know? People should see that you can do tshuva. You can do tshuva. That even if the mass is doing Avera, you can still do tshuva. L'holos tshuva l'rabin. Lislol derech tshuva l'chol Yisrael. To pave the way of tshuva for all the Jews. That's what we're trying to do. In other words, you see they could do it, so we can do it. Like David. It says David really shouldn't have done that sin with Batsheva, whatever the sin was. But he did to show you that you can do tshuva. So it's good sometimes to see somebody else fail. And if somebody else failed, then you know that you can fail, and it's okay. You can fail, and you can get up again and be a good person. And that's what it means. Kol shekein denichalu. Shezel kvodin shel Yisrael. Shekol ha'egel ha'irakadei lehovas tshuva v'atachas ha'egel farsim inyano b'Yisrael. Shemo'ilo tshuva. So even certainly, it's even better to read it. Because what's the whole point of, to translate it? What's the whole point of the Egel Azav? To teach you that you can do tshuva. So you'd be defeating the whole purpose if you don't translate it. Everybody has to know exactly what happened to show you that the Jewish people can serve a golden calf, and they can get up, and then they can do tshuva, and they can be better people afterwards. So that's the Kol Shekein. And then afterwards, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, I want to ask you that a Malach shouldn't come, Hashem should come. Just today I met a Jew. Whenever you meet a Jew, skip the small talk, Rebbe was saying. Say, tell me something you learned. Today I did that with a Jew I met, and he told me such a beautiful life. $1,000,000. He told me in Ishbitzer. He says that after the chait of the Egel, Moshe Rabbeinu says that I don't want to go Amalek to lead us in. I want you. I want you to show us that that you can have Ashras HaShechina. That even after you sin, God will still dwell amongst us. So it says, God, he says, I want you. And then the Gemara tells us that God showed him his Kesher Shel Tefillin. God showed him his Kesher Shel Tefillin. So what's the Kesher Shel Tefillin? So it says in the Torah, it says that God showed Moshe his knot, his Tefillin knot. What does it mean, God showed Moshe his Tefillin knot? So in the Torah it says in Parshas, when Naphtali is born, it says Naphtali was born, and then why is he called Naphtali? Who remembers? Now, excellent, Naphtule Elokim Niftalti. So, what does it mean, Naphtule Elokim Niftalti? So, Rashi says, I'm going to find the Rashi. God was good to me. He showed me the place. Rashi says, Chiburim. Menachem and Sru Perisho b'machberes Tzamit Pasil. Naftula is a lashon of chibur, of connection. Nischabarti machosi, I connected to my sister to be zochet to children. I connected to my sister, in other words, Rachel and Leah connected to each other, and in that way I merited me, Leah, to have children. So that's when Rachel said after Naphtali was born to Bilhah. Okay, so Naphtali was born to Bilhah, and this is what Rachel said. That I said Leah a minute ago probably, but I meant Rachel, I should have said Rachel. And Rachel said that I connected to my sister in order to be Zochet Abanim, and therefore I call him Naphtali. So the word Naphtule means connection, and then if you take the letters Naphtali and you scramble them, what do you get? Tefillin. So what's the way to connect to Hashem? Through tefillin. Through tefillin. So what was Hashem showing Moshe after the sin of the Egel? He showed him his Kesher Shel Tefillin. So tefillin means you're connected to God. And what's Kesher Shel Tefillin? Kesher is tie. So it's like a double knot. Tefillin means you're tied. Tefillin, you wrap it around the tefillin. Tefillin is chibur, Rashi says. Naphtule, Naphtali, tefillin. And then the Kesher Tefillin is a knot on a knot, a double knot. Then now we're really connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why are we connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? After you sin. After you sin. So no matter how much you fall, that's what's so beautiful about Hasidic Svar, for all those of us human beings who fall sometimes. So no matter how much you fall, it's not a contradiction. Sometimes, dafka, because you fall, you get much closer to Hashem. And that's the Chet of Egel. What does the Gemara say? B'malgum shebar le'tshuva omdim, ein tzadikim gemurim yicholim lamo. Where you can stand, if you're about tshuva, if you mess up, if you fall, even the greatest tzaddikim can't stand there. And therefore Hashem shows to Moshe afterwards, he shows him his kasher shel tefillin. It says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin. Just tonight, I was learning a similar Gemara. But the Gemara says, what does it say in our tefillin? What does it say in our tefillin? Shema, excellent. Bahayim Shema, better. Kadesh, excellent. Bahayim Shema, you guys are superstars. It says four parashas in our tefillin. What's the theme of the four parashas? God, you're awesome. You're awesome. I love you. I love you. I want to be connected to you. It says that God wears tefillin. What does it say in God's tefillin, the Gemara says? Am Yisrael, you're awesome. I love you guys. That's the relationship. This is chibur. God isn't just somebody out there who's the boss. Nobody likes the boss, but you got to kiss up to the boss in order to get, you know, pay. In order to get keep your job, we all want to keep our jobs. Yes, I to be alive. We want to keep our job. We want to get paid. So we have to pay. We have to be good to the boss. But that's not the relationship. God doesn't want us to be like a boss. God is like a father. What's a father? You know he loves you, and he just waits for you to do the right thing. So we continue. He says Moshe only wanted God. Shelo yerechim em malach rach Hashem yisbarach ba'atzma. Umaksha Ramban v'chi yevakech Moshe la'arviach achar ma'ase egel. After the ma'ase egel, now Moshe wants to be to gain something now. What, you want better now that God, I should directly lead you into Israel? Ramban doesn't understand how this is like the wrong time to ask. And the Chedush HaArim answers, the Chedush HaArim was Kivi's great uncle. Pretty impressive. And actually, we have a boy in yeshiva a few years ago, Ariel Jacob, who's his great grandfather. So that's also impressive. So the Kotzke Rebbe's sister married the Chedush HaArim. Rav Yitzchak Meir Miguri was the first Ger Rebbe. So talk about Ger, we talk about just about the biggest Hasidus in Poland, tens of thousands of Hasidim. And now, most of them were killed, but they came to Eretz Israel, and now they built themselves up again. So the Chedush HaArim, the first Ger Rebbe, says, Ein Achinami. The Ramban says, what, after the Chayda Egel, you want more reward? The Chedush HaArim says, yeah. Why? Because, like the Gemara says, that B'magm Shabbal Yishuv Onen, Tzigim Urim Chol Lamod, that where a Baal Tshuva can stand, even a Tzadik Gomer can't stand. It's a Baal Tshuva, somebody who comes from a background where they didn't always do mitzvahs as a child, so they are much greater than Tzadikim. And that's also the Lashon of the Gemara of Kol Shegein D'Nichalei. And the Gemara says, whoa, why should you read the Egel and translate it? The Gemara says, certainly we want to read the Egel. Because of the Egel, you become a much better person afterwards. And that's the lesson. It says in the Medrash that Moshe Rabbeinu was in Shemayim for 40 days when he was asking for forgiveness, and he didn't leave one corner that he didn't knock there. He was just pounding it. He was asking for mechila. He was really very, very, very thorough. So he says in the name of his grandfather, the Sfas Emes, right, there was the Chedush HaArim, and then the Sfas Emes, and then the Imre Emes, and then eventually a few rebbes later, the Pnei Menachem. But he's the Sfas Emes' grandson. Amar she'posav derech l'chol yudi lashuv. When it says he didn't leave one corner in the heavens that he didn't knock there in order to get tshuva, that means that he's opening up the way for every Jew to do tshuva. Shekol ish Yisrael v'chol magu v'chol matzav shu yuchal lios lo makom. That they'll have a place for every Jew no matter what. That every Jew has a path back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Hashem lo hotir makom liyeyush v'yesh la'olam tikva shu yucholim tamid lachzor v'lios kimikadam. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't leave any place for Yeush. What does the Gemara say in the Gemara in Bava Metzia? Talks about Yeush Shalomi Das. Yeush Shalomi Das means that I lose an object and I didn't yet despair of finding this object, but if I would find out that I lose it, I would immediately despair. That's Yeush Shalomi Das. Yeush, I don't know I despaired yet, but when I find out, then I'll have despair. So, Rabbi Nachman, they say in his name that he used to say something else. Yeush is Shalomi Das. That if you despair, it's because you're not using your mind. It's no das. You never despair. There's no despair for a Jew. No despair for a Jew means that at any point in any person's life, you can decide that you want to be a tzaddik gomer. And then at that moment, you become one. For that moment. But it's easy to be one for a second, if you decide it for a second. Not so easy, but not so hard. But then to sustain it. To sustain it means you can decide at any minute. That's it. Rabbanu Shalom, what do we say? Mordechai lo yichra v'lo yishtachabe. He didn't want to bow down. There's a point in somebody's life where he just bows his head and he says, Rabbanu Shalom, I'm yours. I don't know so many people who've done it. There's a line in the Chazon Ish, he said, scary. He said it in Yiddish, but I'll say it in English. He said that the most pleasurable moment in the life of a Jew is when he just completely gives himself over to Hashem. That's what he says. It's very hard to do that. Completely giving yourself over to Hashem means that God, it's not, I'm completely mevatel myself, nullifying myself. It's all you. I know you know what's best for me. From now on in my life, whatever you say, I'm going to do. Whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do. And if I'm ever not sure, I'll ask a tzaddik who's close to you. Whatever he says to me, I'm going to do. I don't even have my own opinion anymore. Sometimes people say to me, Rav Herman, what's your opinion? I don't have opinions. Who am I to have opinions? If you tell me what I think the Torah says, I can tell you. But why should my opinion mean anything? What does God say? See, there's a point in your life, you just bow your head, say, Rabbanu Shalom, whatever you want me to do. If you want me to go to Tzahal, last week we had a good Tzahal speech, I'm in Tzahal. If you want me to become a rabbi, I'm a rabbi. If you want me to fast every Monday and Thursday, I'm yours. If you want me to get up every morning of a Sikkim, I'll do it. Anything. Now, doesn't mean he necessarily wants you to do anything crazy. In general, Hashem doesn't want us to do crazy things, because doing crazy things will generally make a person crazy. So God doesn't want you to do a crazy thing, but God does want you, and I know he knows, because he told us, God does want you to say, Nasa v'nishma. God, whatever you do, whatever you say, I'll do. Even before I know what it is, at any point in my life, right now I'm Nasa, and then at every stage of my life I'm going to do nishma. If I'm convinced that I shouldn't go to college, I'm not going to go. If I'm convinced that I should go, I'm going to go, but only if you want me to. Only if you want me to. It doesn't bother me that people go to college. Where does it say in the Torah not to go to college? It doesn't even mention college in the Torah. Although if you're good with gematrias, you can probably find it. What bothers me is that people don't go to college because Hashem said. Nobody comes up to me and says, yeah, the Rabbi Hashem wants me to go to college. That's why I'm going. But how can you say if the Rabbi Hashem did tell you to do it? It's like smoking. So smoking is stupid and it smells and it's cancer and it's emphysema and it's all the dumb things. But I have a more basic problem with smoking. How can you do a pu'ula constantly? There's no indication anywhere that's what God wants you to do. You're putting a thing in your mouth, nobody smokes, so it's not anything personal. So you put something in your mouth, you go up to a chassid the kotel and say to him, excuse me, I'm a baal tshuva, I'm an American, okay? Ani baal tshuva, ani lo yodei harbei Torah. Ani rotzel shol, Hashem rotzezeh, Hashem rotzezeh, say it in nice Hebrew, yeah? So if he says, yeah, Hashem wants, you have no indication that Hashem wants. Why are you smoking then? You're smoking because you want to smoke. Okay, so Nemetzel says it's Asur Doraisa because it's not against Vinishmartim Olin Ashur Sech. Asur Doraisa. Even if it's not Asur Doraisa, so, you know, it's a skula. Mamish, they always have skulas. People are always looking for good luck charms. Good luck charms to get married, good luck charms to have children. So this is a skula to make your wife a widow and your children orphans. A special skula. So you have this skula to make your wife a widow and your children orphans. By the way, it works. You should just know it works. I've seen it work many, many times. Yes, you open up the newspaper, you read the obituaries, you see that it's a school to make you... But forget about that for a second. Just, does the Rabbi Hashem want you to do this? Person gets up in the morning, gets dressed. Does the Rabbi Hashem want me to wear this? How does the Rabbi Hashem want me to get dressed? How does the Rabbi Hashem want me to eat breakfast? What does the Rabbi Hashem want me to eat for breakfast? How much does the Rabbi... You just start... It's a crazy way of thinking. Nobody thinks... Who thinks this way? If you were to see Myers, Liberberg maybe thinks this way. But that's what the Hashem wants. But just... You say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm yours. Very, very hard. It's very, very hard because some people don't even know that he exists. So how can I subordinate myself to some being that maybe yeah, maybe no, but I've never seen him. And what I can see, I know exists, and what I can't see is maybe. So what does the Gemara say about a vaday and a suffix? If you have something definite, if you have something in doubt, what do you go with? Vaday. You always go with what's definite. Very good. So it's definite that I see, and if I get this job, I'm going to make a lot of money. And it's a suffix. What God wants, or if he exists. So go to Vada, go with the money. It's a Vadai that I like girls and they're fun to touch and look at. And it's a Sufek if God's really going to punish me. It's a Sufek. I've never seen anyone get punished for touching girls. I see people touching girls all the time. And they seem pretty happy when they're doing it. So that's a Vada. So you go with the Vada. You go with the Vada. So that's the problem. The problem is for us, God is a Sufek. What is the Gematria, by the way, of Sufek? Now we're on the topic. First of all, Dolar. Dollar. Yes, the word dollar in Hebrew? Is the gematria of Suffolk. But it's also the gematria of Amalek. Amalek is Suffolk. Amalek are those chevre who put into a heart, maybe yeah, you know, don't be so religious. Don't be so religious. You know when somebody says to me, you know what it means to me when somebody says don't be so religious? First of all, it's Amalek. So I want to kill the person, but I'm not going to suggest. I mean, it's not worth it. When somebody says it to me, I think to myself, let's say a guy's married to his wife. And I say to him, tell me something. You ever smack her? No. Say never? No. Like even when she annoys you? Say, no, even when she annoys me, of course not. I said, why are you so extreme? Why is it you never hit her? It's extreme, it's extreme. So anybody who thinks that way is sick in the head. It's sick in the head. Of course you don't hit your wife. Of course you don't hit your wife. It's not extreme, that's normal. It's normal not to hit your wife. It's crazy to do otherwise. A person who just follows that Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's normal. Why is it normal? Because essentially, we all have multiple personalities. What's our multiple personality? They call it in psychology, they call it schizophrenia. It's not schizophrenia. It's called multiple personality syndrome. What's a multiple personality syndrome? Also relates beautifully to this parsha. The multiple personality syndrome is that if somebody comes to you on a Tuesday evening, he knocks at your door, Teaneck and Lawrence and Woodmere, wherever you live, he knocks on your door and he says to you, could I please have a donation? He says, sure, what are you collecting for? He says, I'm from Utah and I'm collecting for the GMC, Church of Latter-day Saints and good football players from BYU. Great! So you're collecting for the Mormons. Great, I love Mormons. Yeah, so you write out a check, $25,000. Saying, I want my name on the plaque, you know, the Yussel Hershkowitz, you know, Church for Latter-day Saints Mormon Center for having multiple wives. The same. So you put the sign up, Yussel Hershkowitz. Now, 20 minutes later, a guy comes to your door. You open it up. You think you're right back in Geula. You see an old bent-over Jew. He says, that's the Yiddish. Said, no, English. Money, dollar for mein Keul. Say, oh, a Keul, ooh, how beautiful. And you take out a check and you write a $25,000 check. A $25,000 check for the Yussel Hershkowitz Koilel Torah V'Yira in Geula. So now you have the Yussel Hershkowitz, you know, a Church of Latter-day Saints for multiple wives, you know, producing great football players for BYU. And you also have the multi-Yussel Hershkowitz cult. What would you say about Yussel Hershkowitz? That he clearly hasn't been taking his meds, right? I mean, it's good. I mean, the guy's nuts in his head. He's giving to the Mormons and he's giving to the Kollel. So the Gemara says about the Jews, when God comes to them and asks for stuff for the Mishkan, they gave gold, silver. And when they came and asked for stuff for the Egel Azav, for the Avodah Zarah, they also gave. So you know what the Gemara says about the Jews? We're nuts. That's the Gemara says, I promise, Yerushalayim. We're nuts. We give to the Egel and we give to this. So in my life, it's the same way. For me, I have a yid. And he sits Shalosh Shittas. I was singing before, I was sitting in the back with Rav Shamshon Rafal, Hirsch Zainik over Josh Levy. We're sitting in the back, and we're singing, na, 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 na. We're singing Yedid Nefesh. And we're singing, Meshay Chasdech, God's joy, I want your chesed. And we're saying, my soul thirsts for you. God, I want to be close to you. An hour and a half later, the same guy who is crying out to God that he wants to be close to him and he yearns for the connection is in the mall, sitting with the, you know, walking around with all the Myron Bish, all the terrible things to see. I don't know, they used to have a movie theater in the mall. I don't know. I haven't been there in about 40 years. But he walks into the movie theater and he mamish sees on the screen right after an hour and a half, he sees Gilead Rice, his pizzas, and he sees Shvichus Damim, there's killing. And he sees the Lavo de Zorin that they went into the church at one point in the movie. He sees the three cardinal sins. And he's paying money. He's paying money for them to take mud and throw it on his soul. He's throwing it on his soul. And then he sees one Rebbetzin on the screen, another Rebbetzin on the screen. Maybe I have a chance. I know, you know, she went. She broke up with this boyfriend and with that husband and this. She doesn't say with one guy. Maybe I'll have it. You know what? Even if I won't have a chance, in my mind, I can have her as much as I want. So you're sitting and you're watching and you're thinking all the thoughts. You're going, Mom, just get more money on your soul, more money on your soul. And then after the movie, so, oh man, that was great. You come home. You get up the next morning. You get dressed. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. You're saying, Shema, I love you, God, with all my heart and all my soul. What's it, you love God or you love the girl on the screen? Line? It's the same guy. It's the same guy, and it's all of us. I'm just, you know, putting it in a little extreme terms because it's past 11, and the Rosh Hashiva is in America, so I'm not so afraid to finish on time. But it'll get back to him. Everything I say gets back to him. Everything I say, and a lot of things I don't say. So at least they didn't quote me as saying that you're pusillade if you go to the army. They quoted somebody. This quoted somebody else saying that. But I have to be careful what I say and what I don't say. But you can say whatever you want in my name. It doesn't matter. Everything's been said in my name and not in my name. So, okay, so you go, but we all do that to a certain extent. Some things you do for God, you get in the morning, you stop your circulation for God. Right, 40 minutes, no circulation in your left arm. Right, the left. So you put on your tefillin for God, and you wear tzitzis for God, and you learn Torah for God. It's God. But then when it comes to other things, then you do things that are exactly the opposite of God, not what God wants. So are you with God or you're not with God? So a normal person either is with God or he's not. But an abnormal person, I mean, all of us to a certain extent, are sometimes this way, and sometimes that way. A little bit for the golden calf, and a little bit for the Mishkan, or a lot for both. So, to give yourself over to God is completely normal. Just like a person who never hits his wife, never curses at his parents, never steals from his neighbor, that's normal behavior. And if somebody says, oh, that's extreme, what, you never steal? Like, even if you know your neighbor went away for Shabbos, you won't just go into his house and, like, try to get into his safe? Like, never? Like, no, never. Never. That's normal. And if somebody thinks that, it's not. So, to be you're too religious. So somebody says, you're too religious. It's clear to me the person doesn't believe in God. It's not, or this is something wrong in the brain. Something wrong in the brain. So I'm all to God. We're too, it's not true. I am or I'm not. So he continues and he finishes. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't leave place for hope. We can always go back to Hashem. And Moshe Rabbeinu returned everybody to their Shoresh. And he concludes, Moshe Rabbeinu opened up the opening for Baalei Tshuva. And that's why it says, Ivru Vishuvu Mishar L'Shar. After the Egel, they were killing everybody. And it says, go from gate to gate in the camp and kill each other. So it says shuvu. So the Pnei Menachem says shuvu is lashon of tshuva. It looks like you're going from gate to gate to kill, but it's really saying you could do tshuva. You can return. So that's really the lesson. That's the lesson of Purim, Yom Purim, Kippurim, today's Purim, today's Purim Kaddin. So the lesson is that we should all know that we can return to Hashem, we can be tzaddikim gemurim, and in that schus there is no question that we will live lives of simcha. 2, 3, 4. In the
and this is good.